ничего не пишите.
Не пишите.
Ничего не читайте.
Читайте.
Ничего не говорите.
Ничего не печатайте.
glow stick.
Ooh, I haven't used one of these since our Black Ops night raid on Kinshasa.
Who's Kinshasa?
Comedy on BBC Radio 4 with House on Fire. Tonight at 11 o'clock.
Well, now Russia, the Wild East. Martin Sixsmith continues his history of 1,000 years of Russia. Leonid Brezhnev has toppled Nikita Khrushchev to take the reins of the Soviet Union. Years of stagnation are about to begin.
Nikita Khrushchev is buried here in Moscow's Novodevichy Cemetery. He's surrounded by some of the great names of Russian culture: Chekhov, Gogol, Mayakovsky, Prokofiev and Shostakovich. But the cultural legacy of the Khrushchev era is a mixed one. Periods of freedom were punctuated by crackdowns. The publication of Alexander Solzhenitsyn's One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich in 1962, depicting the daily grind of the Stalin-era camps, was personally approved by Khrushchev. But Solzhenitsyn was soon banned again. At an exhibition of modern art, Khrushchev exploded in fury. "This is dog shit," he told the artists, "and you're all faggots and perverts. My grandson can paint better than you." When the sculptor Ernst Niezvesny replied that being general secretary doesn't make you an art expert, Khrushchev launched into a 15-minute rant, and Alexander Shelyapin, the head of the KGB, whispered, "You'll rot in a camp." But Niezvesny never went to jail. Khrushchev respected him for daring to speak out, and before his death in 1971, he told his wife that Niezvesny should carve his tombstone. The result, in front of me here, is a bust of Khrushchev with a background that's split down the middle between black and white stone. Quite fitting for a man of so many contradictions.
Малая земля, кровавая заря, яростный десант, сердец летает вверх.
Leonid Brezhnev had led the coup that deposed Khrushchev in 1964. He'd been Khrushchev's protege. They'd served together during the war, and Khrushchev had overseen the younger man's rise through the party ranks. But having evicted his mentor, Brezhnev set about undoing his reforms and returning the country to the conservatism of the past. The Brezhnev years would become known as the era of stagnation, when change was regarded with suspicion, and the USSR began the inexorable decline that would end in collapse a quarter of a century later. With literature and art now rigidly censored, writers who refused to produce the monochrome pap of socialist realism were forced underground. Samizdat blossomed, with poems and novels passed from hand to hand in laboriously typed carbon copies. But speaking freely was a risky business. The authors Andrei Sinyavsky and Yuli Daniel were convicted of anti-Soviet propaganda based on views expressed by characters in their works of fiction. Their trial did much to create a dissident movement in the Soviet Union. When I spoke to Sinyavsky in 1989, he told me that the real nature of their crime had been to expose the fragility and illegitimacy of the Soviet system.
The regime needed enemies and monsters to serve as scapegoats for its own failings. Even works of creative imagination were targets for the oppression of the state. Russia has always needed poets and writers willing to stand in the way of autocracy.
The trial of Sinyavsky and Daniel caused an international outcry and focused Soviet dissidents on the struggle for human rights. But police dispersed the demonstrators and infiltrated informers into the dissident groups. Writers and academics found themselves dismissed from their positions and forced to take menial jobs as cleaners or cloakroom attendants.
The Soviet Union announced this morning that its troops had been called into Czechoslovakia at the urgent request of Czechoslovak leaders. Party and government leaders.
The repression got worse after the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia. Alexander Dubček's separate road to socialism had granted Czechs increased freedoms and the hope of a multi-party system. The Prague Spring of 1968 threatened communist rule in Eastern Europe, and Brezhnev decided to act.
Prague has woken up under foreign occupation. The night was one of terror.
On the 21st of August, 200,000 Warsaw-packed troops advanced across the Czech border. 70 civilians were killed as they tried to resist. But the scale of the fighting was less than in Hungary 12 years earlier, and the Kremlin quickly announced that order had been restored. Dubček was flown to Moscow in handcuffs, but unlike the Hungarian rebels, he was not executed. Washington condemned the crushing of Czech democracy, but did not break off relations with Moscow.
Mr. Brezhnev, it is a very great honor for me to welcome you on your first visit to the United States.
Richard Nixon was effusive when Brezhnev visited New York in 1973. Agreements were signed to limit the production and deployment of nuclear weapons, and the tensions of the Cold War began to ease. The Kremlin's chief motivation was undoubtedly financial. Brezhnev's stifling conservatism had plunged the USSR into crisis. Improvements in industry were put off or avoided completely. Workers refused to increase productivity, as it meant the state would give them extra work the following year. People channeled their energy into the black economy, boosting their incomes by moonlighting, bartering services and goods. The whole economy needed a radical overhaul, but Brezhnev stalled and prevaricated. Even the magnificent achievements of the Soviet space program were frittered away. To the west of Cosmonaut's Alley, here in northern Moscow, is a leafy square dedicated to cosmonaut Vladimir Komarov, and if anyone deserved it, he did. In the late 1960s, the Soviet Union was desperate to beat the Americans to the moon, and the first step was to launch a new series of powerful rockets known as Soyuz. President Brezhnev decreed that Soyuz 1 must blast off on May Day 1967. The engineers warned him that the rocket wasn't ready, and Yuri Gagarin produced a list of 203 separate faults in its operating systems. But the KGB confiscated the document and ordered the flight to go ahead. Komarov was selected as the pilot, and pre-launch footage shows him looking deeply troubled. Soon after going into orbit, mechanical failures set warning lights flashing, and Komarov radioed that nothing works on this devil ship. With Soyuz plummeting back to Earth, Prime Minister Kosygin spoke to Komarov and called him a hero. His wife was allowed to talk to him in a final, tearful conversation. As he smashed into the Russian steppe at 400 miles an hour, Komarov's last words were an indictment of the Soviet system that had sent him to his death. «Вы меня убили», he said. «You've killed me». The leadership's focus on propaganda victories at the expense of long-term development had undone all the scientific brilliance and all the individual heroism. In 1969, the Americans put the first men on the moon. No Soviet cosmonaut would follow in their footsteps. By the end of the 1960s, nationalist discontent was increasing in the Soviet republics. There were disturbances in Armenia, Estonia, and Ukraine. But Brezhnev allowed the problem to fester. The fault lines that would eventually tear the Soviet Union apart were beginning to open. But Brezhnev's response was to look for scapegoats. I remember this little park in the shadow of the lowering Gothic Foreign Ministry building from the 1980s. I used to come here to cover demonstrations by dissident refusenik Soviet citizens, mainly Jews, who'd been refused permission to emigrate. It was embarrassing, really, for the Soviet Union that hundreds of thousands of people wanted to leave a place that had declared itself a socialist paradise. So exit visas were very rarely issued, and the people who wanted to emigrate, the Jews, were dubbed as dangerous Zionists, a threat to the Soviet state. Refuseniks and dissidents alike were accused of being agents of Western imperialism. Andrei Sakharov and Alexander Solzhenitsyn were hounded relentlessly. In 1973, Solzhenitsyn wrote his open letter to the Soviet authorities, urging Brezhnev and his colleagues to
throw away the dead ideology that threatens to ruin us. When you open your newspaper or switch on your television, do you yourselves really believe all those speeches you find there? You all stopped believing in it long ago. And if you did not, then you are totally cut off from the real life of this country.
Alexander Solzhenitsyn was detained at the end of a dank and gloomy winter afternoon, much like the atmosphere of his own stories. Seven police agents, including two uniformed militiamen, pushed their way into the flat in central Moscow where his second...
When Solzhenitsyn was banished to the West in 1974, Andrei Sakharov took up the baton. Sakharov was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, and when the West initialed the Helsinki Accords in 1975, it insisted on an undertaking that all signatories should respect human rights and fundamental freedoms. Sakharov founded the Moscow-Helsinki Group to hold the Soviet state to its promises. His reward was 6 years internal exile in the closed city of Gorky.
50,000 heavily armed Soviet troops have crossed the border and are now dispersed throughout Afghanistan.
When Soviet troops invaded Afghanistan in December 1979, Moscow embarked on a troubled occupation that would be a millstone round its neck for nearly 10 years. Détente with the West juddered to a halt. The superpower arms race resumed, and the Kremlin once more sacrificed the civilian economy to match spiralling US military spending. In 1980, rises in the price of food sent dock workers in the Polish port of Gdańsk onto the streets. Led by Lech Wałęsa, an inspirational mustachioed shipyard electrician, the Solidarity Union turned the rebellion into a nationwide struggle for liberty and national dignity. Brezhnev considered military invasion, but instead prevailed on the Polish president, General Wojciech Jaruzelski, to enforce a state of emergency. Thousands of people were sent to jail and 100 or more shot dead on the streets. The people's grievances were suppressed but would explode again at the end of the decade.
На протяжении почти 4 лет не умолкали грохот сражений.
Леонид Брежнев was in physical decline now. He'd grown fat and appeared confused during public appearances, slurring his speech and forgetting his lines.
Миллионы.
He was a physical incarnation of the invalid system he ruled over. For the last weeks of his reign, Brezhnev was thought to be in a coma. When he died in 1982, the Sun newspaper ran the headline, revealed, Red Cabbage ruled Russia.
It's been officially announced in Moscow that Mr. Yuri Andropov, the former head of the KGB, has been elected as General Secretary of the Soviet Communist Party in succession to President Brezhnev.
The new president was also old and sick. Yuri Andropov made a brief effort to end corruption and mismanagement, but his reforms were window dressing, and 15 months later, he too was dead. His successor was himself so ill that he could barely deliver the eulogy at Andropov's funeral. When Konstantin Chernenko expired the following year, Ronald Reagan lamented, "How am I supposed to get any place with these Russians if they keep dying on me?" Washington was still helping Islamic guerrillas massacre Soviet troops in Afghanistan, and Reagan had pressed ahead with his controversial Star Wars missile shield, designed to defend the USA while leaving the Soviets vulnerable to an American nuclear strike. The Kremlin could ill afford another arms race, but such was the fear of being left behind that both Andropov and Chernenko had agreed to increase spending. The next Soviet leader would inherit problems so weighty that they would put the country's very survival in doubt.
Russia, the Wild East was written and presented by Martin Sixsmith, and the programme returns at the same time tomorrow. The series is produced by Anna Scott-Brown and is a Ladbroke Radio production for BBC Radio 4. Well, the news is next, and then Mariella Frostrup and the final part of her History of Women's Writing. Open book in a couple of minutes.
44 years on BBC Radio 4, and just a minute could be in for some changes.
I'd like to introduce a new thing, that if you talk for a minute without being interrupted, you get a cake as well.
Yes. That's very nice of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think you deserve more than one extra pill? One extra...
Presents for panellists and points for Parsons.
Paul Merton's just in the lead, 1 point ahead of Graham Norton, who's 1 point ahead of Sheila Hancock, who's 3 points ahead of Tony Hawks, and Nicholas Parsons has got 1 point.
just a minute. Back on Monday evening at 6:30.
Odi, odi, alasay. I'm not listening to afterday. Man, I want meja.
Ja, ik kan je helemaal gelijk, joh. We gaan gewoon maar door.
Anna Piki Boy Sanya Conrol.
Ishangasa Masani.
Anna Lirling Sanyoi.
Isamista Roboko.
Anna Piki Basani Sani.
Ishangamba Sisani.
Minateka Piki Boy Sanya Conrol.
Ishangasa Masani.
Anna Prince Roboko. Hey!
Isangome Sani.
Anna Piki Boy Sanyo Bayao.
Ishangasa Masani.
Ishaka Samasani,
Ishaka Samasani,
Ano Lerle Sani, Sani,
Ishaka
Mister Uroko,
Ano Lerle Sani,
Minata Kapiki Boy Takia Holland,
Ishaka Samasani,
Udidolanga Kaba, Una Verif Dosalanga, Uwikino, Sakuweri Sonoma,
and because the Kapodi Nangelo be Asha, I become a place of place group. Yanka, Funka,
Ayo,
my lord.
You like the beat?
Yes.
Udi dola na kaba, udi dola na kaba. Go hopo no, go hopo no. Piti hopo hopo, piti hopo na kipa. Taki somebody wani boo, mama di 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 boo. Go hopo no, jana go hopo no. Somebody wani boo. Hopo na ki pao, pao na ki hopo no, piti hopo hopo, hopo na ki pao, go hopo no babo, taki sama juani ku, mama titi tiku, manu jo, 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 ayo, ayo, sama juani ku, titi tiku, mama go hopo no babo. Piti hopo hopo, piti hopo na kipau. Somebody wanna go, go hopo no, go hopo no. Wote kwatra zano, wote kwatra zano. Piti hopo na kipau, jo jo, eh eh eh, ayo ayo. Somebody wanna go. Hopo hopo, and wakar wadaya wiki, wakar wadaya. Taki hopo hopo maboy, piti hopo laki pao. Teta loloku koko,
loloku koko.
Ayo,
loloku koko.
Teko kwa lolo, teko kwa seki. Koko lolo,
loloku koko.
Pitu seki ayo. Pusuko, pusuko. Every one man, I live. Ekawa seki, koko minaki. Koko mina choy, koko mina ti, ya piki ya unaki, koko nukire, wase, hey, lecha, asana lecha, lecha, amitaki lecha, tembichi lecha, ekana lecha, kwa mwasi, neko kwelolo, neko kwelolo, koko mina choy, koko mina ki, koko mina ki, keiser.
Thank you.
Hello, beautiful people. I am Mehdi and I will be your guide for the next 2 hours as we will take a musical trip together through the former Portuguese colonies of Africa. We will start our trip in Mozambique and then travel counterclockwise to Angola, São Tomé e Príncipe, Guinea-Bissau and finally Cabo Verde. And through these different countries we will discover a selection of tracks, all coming from original recordings from the 70s that will cover a wide array of musical genres and artists of all these different countries that have in fact very few things in common besides the fact that they were all colonized by Portugal and that they became independent after the end of the Portuguese dictatorship in the late 70s, 1975, and saw socialist regimes taking control of all these countries. I have to admit that I am not an expert in Loose African music. I do not even speak Portuguese, but that it has been a musical genre that I have discovered through many trips to Portugal mainly, and Rotterdam, and I will explain to you how that comes later. And it has been a music that has always appealed to me, both on a musical level and also because, of course, the political history of all these countries is reflected very strongly through the music, and, well, I'm always been quite passionate about African politics and about the political evolutions, especially in the decolonial period in Africa. So this is really a very interesting area and all very interesting countries from that point of view. But as I said, we started in Mozambique and the first track that you have listened to was a traditional Mozambican song from the Tsonga people. And next will be actually two tracks from very famous Mozambican artists from the 70s, from the years after the formal independence and during the civil war, which are Fanny Pfumo and Alexander Langa.
Pamba kule ka humini, vichava ni kupamba kule mizaka. Siyamfunda fama gandaweni Logo uni magasa yamfunda fama gandaweni Logo uni magasa yamfunda fama gandaweni
Ndela nini kuwa akatikulule Ndela nini kuwa akatikulule Fungo chava ni kufamba kule gandaweni Zichava ni kufamba kule manjagazi Ndiawona omarumbi kule manjagazi Ndiawona omarumbi kule manjagazi Ndela nini kongo kukatikulule Ndela nini kuwa akatikulule Zichava ni kufamba kule gandaweni
Logo uni magasa mfunda Famba gandaweni Logo uni magasa mfunda Famba gandaweni Logo uni magasa mfunda Famba gandaweni
Tela nini kuwa akatikulule Tela nini kuwa akatikulule Ichava ni kufamba kule gandaweni Ichava ni kufamba kule gahumini Ichava ni kufamba kule manjakazi Iyawona uo marumbi kule manjakazi Iyawona uo marumbi kule gandaweni Tela nini pongo
Logo uni magasa yamfunda famba gandaweni Logo uni magasa yamfunda famba gandaweni
Thank you.
next stop is Angola, which of course was the largest Portuguese African colony, and next to Brazil, the second largest Portuguese-speaking country in the world. And it was also one of the richest colonies during those times because of its large petrol reserves and also minerals that it hosted. And the country knew a devastating civil war after the formal independence from Portugal in 1975. And actually the civil war lasted almost until 2002 with different political factions that were fighting each other over control of the Angolan territory. And it was during the civil war also that we saw very clearly how the Cold War had a strong impact on what happened in Angola because of the proxy wars that were fought out there. You had the different political factions, the MPLA, which was a Marxist political party backed by the Soviet Union and Cuba, with even Cuba sending military personnel to Angola to aid the MPLA in gaining control of the country. You had the UNITA rebels, who were backed by the USA and South Africa because they said they were anti-communist. You had the FNLA, who was also backed by the USA and by Zaire or Congo, because they said they were anti-communist. And so this was a very clear Cold War proxy situation there during most of the 70s and 80s until the collapse of the Soviet Union and the end of the Cold War, which made that both Soviet Union and Cuba, and on the other hand the Americans, the CIA and South African regime, stopped backing their different political factions and actually forced them to the negotiation table. But actually, for a period of more than 25 years, the whole of Angola was actually divided in different zones and in different political factions fighting each other. And so all of the records, all of the tracks that you will hear now will be produced during the civil war. And this is what makes them so special, because, of course, the political ideas of the singers are very strongly reflected in the lyrics and in the songs, and it gives a quite complex view of Angola's difficult political situation. So we're not going to talk about the political situation much longer. For those who want to read more, I can strongly recommend Richard Kapuscinski's Another Day of Life, which is a book he wrote while he was covering the Angolan civil war for the Polish news agency that he worked for. And it gives a fantastic account in a non-academic way of this whole period of the Angolan civil war. So, like I said, the political history is, of course, reflected in the music as well and through many of its artists. And so the first track that we will listen to from Angola is one from the first record that was ever pressed in Angola, the first full LP that was ever pressed in Angola, which was called Rebita on the Rebita label, and which is a track by Urbano de Castro, which was during the 70s, even before the independence in 75, one of the most popular singers in Angola. Together with David Zay and Artur Nunez. And unfortunately, all three of them were assassinated in 77 after a failed political coup that tried to topple Agostinho Neto, who was then the president in Angola and who was also the president of the MPLA. And, well, of course, David Zay, Urbano de Castro and Artur Nunez were strong supporters of Agostinho Neto. And after that coup attempt, they were assassinated by his opponents. After which music of all these artists was also banned for a very long period in Angola. But first track is from Urbano de Castro, Semba Avo, from the Rebita record. Enjoy.
Imbo yo loboza, imbo yangene ya vavo. Mama tonande ke shukulo divitu. Mama tonande ke shukulo divitu. Vavo wolo kweza, niki bandu kumutwe. Vavo wolo kweza, niki bandu kumutwe. Za vavo, inyi wabeka vavo. Za
aleye mula ula puxa. Você não pode parar. Se você parar, amanhã não vai trabalhar.
Urbano de Castro, and we will continue with what is often referred to as the Holy Trinity of records in Angola, which were in fact three records that were released in the year of independence in 1975 by three of the greatest Angolan artists from that time. And it is Tetalando's Independencia, Carlos Lamartín's Angola Año Uno, and David Zé's Viuva da Liberdade. So these were three records that saw the light approximately at the same time and treated, of course, the Angolan War for Independence, Revolution, Independence from Portugal, and Marxist ideology by three very important singers of that time. And I've selected actually from each of these records one very important track. The first one that we will listen to will be Tetalando's track Irmão, which is actually an appeal to the camaraderie and the comrades fighting for the War of Independence in Angola. Followed by Carlos Lamartín's Acorda Lumumba, which is of course an ode, an homage to Belgian Congo's revolutionary leader Patrice Lumumba, who was by then already assassinated by the CIA, and who was a very big inspiration, of course, for Angola's independence movement, because Angola is bordering the south of Congo, and Congo has always had a big influence both culturally and politically on Angolan life. And then the last track is Udenge Wami from David Zé's famous album Viuva da Liberdade, which is still regarded as one of the greatest albums ever produced in that golden era of Angolan music, the 70s, and which is a track that was even covered by, actually quite recently covered, by Nas and Damian Marley in one of their recent collaborations. I cannot remember the name of the hip-hop track anymore, but it has a fantastic melody which surely made it a perfect sample. Enjoy.
Irmão, amo teu irmão. neli somenti un angulano, angulano, amo te, irmão. Oh, camarada, a palavra de ordem é união. Camarada, a palavra de ordem é união. Pois com o povo de Angola unido, a independência chegará. Pois com o povo de Angola unido, o colonialismo não resistirá. Ei, irmão, ajuda o teu irmão.
Ei, irmão, amo o teu irmão.
Irmão, amo o teu irmão. Chegará, pois com o povo de Angola unido, o colonialismo não resistirá. Ei, irmão, ajuda o teu irmão. Oh,
ei, irmão,
ama o teu irmão.
Oh, ei, irmão,
ajuda. No internacionalismo da nossa luta, a nossa solidariedade militante para com o povo zairense.
Lumumba, acorda Lumumba, para salvar teu povo. O povo zairense morre de fome, morre de frio, Lumumba. Lumumba, Lumumba, acorda Lumumba, para dirigir teu povo. Na luta contra a exploração e contra a tirania matou o Gizenga, matou o Mulele e mata o teu povo Lumumba. Ninguém o contesta, com medo da forca. Ninguém fala em Lumumba e o teu povo adormece Lumumba. matou Xisenga, matou Mulele e mato teu povo Lumumba. Ninguém o contesta, com medo da forca. Ninguém fala em Lumumba e o teu povo adormece Lumumba.
Mukulukulu kimene mene kyango maputu. Mukulukulu kimene mene kyango maputu. Mshimukano dilola bumaku.
Wawe umenge, wawe.
Kuna kumbala leyope mukuso nono imbondo yami mukukando idingu yangene mukukanda ojipukwe okina kilambo papi kumbi ngikakami kwa kubata diami lelu kini kinga kulu kiawe kibanza undenge wami lelu ngibanda ngikulumuka. Mukusa tombolo ya kizuwe, wawe undenge wani, wawe undenge, ahi undenge wani, wawe undenge. Mkulu kulu, imene mene kyango maputu, mshimkano dilola bumaku. Kina sanga kingia kumbalele yobe mkusonono mbondo yami mkukando idingu yangene nishipuku okina kilombo kodi kumbi kikoka mii kwa kubata yami. Kina sanga kingia mvenda ya kapolo boshi mkusumbo ngubaja mjokange nisukidi yami shikerela. Ah, ndenge wani. Lelo kani kinga kulukiawe, emengi bandangi kulumuka, mukusa tombolo ya kizuwe, kingi banza makamba mami, kingi banza shikola jami, kingi banza jinjila jami. Emengi dilangowe,
wawe undenge,
wawe undenge wami,
wawe undenge,
ah undenge,
wawe undenge,
wawe undenge,
wawe.
Fantastic track indeed, David Ze Udenge Wami. Now some more tracks from Angola's Semba music, which is actually the main dance music of Angola, which is called the Semba, which was the dance music during the 70s and even until today, but is also played as different cultural events, wedding parties, even funerals and carnival and everything. So the music draws strong influences from the kizomba, the rebita and other more traditional musical genres from Angola, which are primarily carnival musics and which were during Portuguese colonial rule actually forbidden. One of the things that the Portuguese did was prohibit the celebrations of carnival in Angola because they saw it as opportunities for the people to express in a cultural way their feelings of independence and identity an autonomy, and it had to be suppressed also because the dance of Semba and the festivities during Carnival was seen by the quite Catholic right-wing colonial rulers of Portugal as being indecent and un-Catholic, of course. So we'll follow now some tracks of Semba music from Semba Tropical de Angola, the track Kisangela, Dina Santos with her Semba Casablanca